Here on RNIB Connect Radio, we do mention the RNIB helpline 0303 123 9999 many times for all sorts of advice and support around sight loss, whether that might be making contact with one of the specialist teams, such as the Welfare Rights team or even the Tech for Life team, just to mention a couple. Perm Batchew's life has certainly turned around from making that call to the RNIB helpline back in 2018, when she was going through a very tricky time in her life due to the deterioration of her vision. And Perm joins me now to tell me how life-changing that first call was to the RNIB helpline. Hello, Perm, and welcome to Connect Radio. Firstly, Perm, could you tell me what was happening in your life leading up to that first call to the RNIB helpline?
Hello, thank you for having me, Toby. Well, my first instance, I was actually in a really low place at that point in my life. I wasn't leaving the house. I was agoraphobic, suffering with severe anxiety and panic, and I was severely depressed. I hit rock bottom. And I was being looked after by my primary care team, and I was actually in denial about my eye condition, and I needed financial help because it wasn't just affecting me, it was affecting my family. So I picked up the phone through a colleague of mine who said, well, ring up the RNIB helpline, they'll be able to help you. And as I did dial the number that you've just read out, I was amazed as to the help that I got. People were very kind, very supportive. So there were two areas. So one was actually a colleague of yours helped me with a PIP form, which I didn't even know existed, personal independence payments. And it was like an encyclopedia to actually fit it in, because I've got no central vision. So I needed help with that. And I was given a toolkit. And the other one was to actually see what benefits I was entitled to. And your other colleague actually helped me deal with that, which was a big relief, really. And it took a load off my mind as well.
So obviously, when making that call, that first call, you were put in contact with the Welfare Rights team about benefits and that kind of thing. But you also, I believe, put in touch with a sight loss counsellor. And I wondered if you would be able to give me a couple of examples of how the Welfare Rights and the sight loss counsellor helped you.
Well, with the actual Welfare Rights, they helped me with the PIP, which was quite an instrumental form to fill in, and all the medical evidence that I needed. So they told me what I needed and how to gather the information, which I did. And with the sight loss counselling advice line, as in for my counselling, I needed help because I was heading for a mental breakdown. I was in denial, and I actually spoke to your counselling team, which taught me through various sessions and coping strategies, which really, really helped. And without that, I don't think, with your instrumental kind of intervention, I'd be sitting here today, to be totally honest with you, because I was actually heading for crashing and burning.
And how did they sort of help you with getting your life back together in many ways?
I think the other thing that was suggested as well, because I spoke to the RNIB on a regular basis then, and, you know, I kind of resisted doing the sight loss awareness course that you do. So I actually was then doing the sight loss awareness course, which actually talked various different stages, because it was a 6-week course, and they talked about various eye conditions, technology, day-to-day, daily living products that you could get and that you could use to enable you to live a more independent life. And the course that I was actually doing was done on a national level, and it really helped. And it also gave me, there was a session on confidence building and self-awareness. And one thing I found is that everybody else was going through the same journey I was on the course. And I think with the reassurance that I got from everybody else that, you know, it's the beginning of a journey. There's never a destination, because with eye conditions or any disability you have, there's always a progression. So for me, I felt I belonged, and it gave me confidence, and it started to give me back my mental well-being as well. So yeah, that's how it helped.
And I think you had a bit of a background in the arts, and you've now got involved in photography and had some really good feedback on your photographic work too. What type of photography do you do, and how would you describe your work?
Well, I'm in the, I call it the novice stage of photography. This actually came about through one of the local charities I'm with, and they actually have a local charity called Multistory, and they actually picked a few people who were visually impaired / blind stories to actually put on their kind of thing, which was Seeing in Isolation. And those photographs were taken from my personal album, and it was including my love for art and my career in art, my friendship with my friend who's since deceased, Glenda, and also tackling mental health. So those three kind of topics were entwined in my photography, and that was actually launched last year. And my work is very, very unique, and my photographs are actually about me, about my journey, about sight loss, and the confidence that I've got from where I was 2 to 3 years ago now to where I am now. And with the help of the various charities and organisations, I'm standing strong and tall. And my mantra is, I'm visible, not invisible. And my photographs are actually in black and white because it's highlighting how I see the world. And sometimes I have to tilt my head to take the picture with the camera or my camera phone. And yeah, it's been received quite openly. And I've had open criticism and people saying, you know, your work is really, really good. And I didn't think I could do photography. And my inspiration behind my photography is my dad. My dad was an avid photographer when we were younger. He'd always have a camera around his neck in the 70s growing up. So yeah, he's my inspiration.
Well, making that call to the RNIB helpline has certainly helped you in, I think, many ways. And I wondered, what would you say to somebody else who might be in the same situation that you were in back in 2018 and thinking about calling the RNIB helpline, but not quite sure of making that first call?
Well, the first thing I will say to them is, which I said to myself, is that if it's affecting your family and it's affecting your quality of life, there is, pardon the expression, there is hope, and not to lose that hope. And it's actually be brave to admit they've got a problem and they need help. Making that call, my hand was shaking, but I'm glad I did, because I have gone from strength to strength and I've done many, many different things with the RNIB. And if someone is sitting at home, please don't think you're on your own. We're all there and our journey is different and we can all there to listen, to support each other. And the RNIB, I can ring them anytime. And if I have a query, there's somebody always there to say, yes, how can we help?
Well, thank you very much indeed for sharing your story about how you've made contact with the RNIB helpline with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Toby. Thank you.